Let us read together once more from the Scriptures, turning this time to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we're going to begin reading at verse 97. Psalm 119, reading verses 97 to 104. For our study of God's Word this morning, we're going to be looking at several of the verses that are contained within this portion, verses 98, 99, and 100, and then 104. But we read together now verses 97 to 104. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Amen. This is God's Word. Well, please turn back with me once more in the Scriptures to that portion from Psalm 119 that we just read together a few moments ago. In these morning services, I understand that you're working through different themes in the 119th Psalm relating to the Word of God. And the theme that I have been assigned for today is the theme of God's Word as the source of understanding. God's Word as the source of true understanding. One commentator has said that along with the prayer for life, the prayer for understanding is the most common petition of Psalm 119. And the vast majority of Psalm 119 is petition. Most of the psalm is the psalmist praying for different things to the Lord. And the most common petition, according to this commentator at least, is prayer for understanding. Prayer for understanding. Now, these verses that are before us in this portion this morning are not themselves prayers for understanding, but statements about understanding. And so that's going to direct our thinking this morning. There's a fair bit of overlap between the different verses of Psalm 119, as no doubt you're aware by now, so I'm not going to try to take each of these verses separately. We're going to consider them more as a whole and draw various truths from them. And there are three things that I think we should notice this morning as we think about this theme. The first is simply to state that God's Word gives understanding. God's Word does give understanding. We see that especially in verse 104. Through your precepts I get understanding. That is also implied, of course, in verses 98, 99, and 100. And there are at least eight other places in Psalm 119 where this truth is taught explicitly. God's Word gives His people understanding. The question is, what is understanding? Perhaps the best way to explain it is to contrast it with knowledge. and to try to see the difference between knowledge and understanding. In Scripture, knowledge has to do with facts and data and information, whereas understanding, when it's used in contrast to knowledge, is much more practical. Understanding is about knowing how to use knowledge, how to make sense of the things that we know, seeing how things fit together, seeing the big picture. That's understanding according to the Scriptures. Before I went to the Reformed Theological College, I worked for a year in a car parts warehouse. And by the end of that year, amongst other things, I had a vast amount of knowledge about the various parts of a car. I knew what a silencer was. I knew what all the various shapes and sizes of silencers looked like. I knew what air filters looked like. I knew what oil filters looked like. I knew about timing belts and fan belts and brake shoes and brake pads. And actually, after a year working in that place, I even knew the serial numbers, which ran to several digits, for each of these different parts, for each of the different, many different models of cars. I knew a lot about the parts of a car, but I'm sorry to say that I didn't have an ounce of understanding. I didn't really understand what many of these parts that I was handling and stacking every day were for. I didn't know how to apply the knowledge that I had gained. I could recognize the parts perfectly well. I could go and find them for you on the shelves, but I was clueless about how they actually worked under the bonnet. And if I had to try and fix a car engine using these different parts, I wouldn't know where to begin. And that helps to illustrate the difference between knowledge and understanding. It's possible to know lots, but understand very little. Now, God's word does give us knowledge. It gives us information. It gives us facts. It gives us data. And Psalm 119 has a great deal to say about that as well. But the psalmist speaks at least twice as often about how God's word gives us understanding. Knowledge questions about the world are interesting, aren't they? Or at least many people find knowledge questions about the world interesting. How many miles is it from the earth to the sun? How long does it take light to reach the earth from the sun? What's the temperature on the surface of the sun? What's the temperature in the core of the sun? Those sorts of knowledge questions are quite interesting. But friends, understanding questions are far more important. Who made the sun? Why did he make the sun? Knowledge questions about ourselves are fascinating. How does a human embryo grow inside its mother's womb? How does the human eye work? Why is it that we are able to remember things? How does memory work? Fascinating. Knowledge questions are fascinating. But far more important, far more significant, are understanding questions. They are far more urgent as well. Why do we exist at all? Who made us? Why do people do evil things? You see the difference between knowledge and understanding. Knowledge questions give us facts, but understanding questions go higher than that, and they explain the facts and they make sense of the information. They explain the full picture. Knowledge is nice, but understanding, that's vital. Do you want understanding? The psalmist says. Are you looking for answers to the big questions of life, to the important questions of life, to the fundamental questions of life? Well, then, here is where it is to be found, the psalmist insists, in God's word. Through your precepts, I get understanding. We don't get all the answers, We don't always have detailed and specific answers. We don't get complete understanding from God's word, but we do get understanding, much understanding, true understanding. Just to take an example or two, why is the world the way it is? Why do people suffer? Why did that earthquake happen in Haiti? A seismologist could answer that question in terms of plate tectonics and stress and the build-up of pressure deep underneath the surface of the earth. And that would be true so far as it goes, and helpful so far as it goes. But it doesn't go far enough. Ultimately, it's an understanding question. And understanding comes from God's word. And God's word tells us that the world is under God's curse because of human sin. It tells us that the creation is groaning, that the natural order, the environment, the tectonics of the plates were affected by Adam and Eve's fall in the Garden of Eden. God's word tells us that it's not that the people of Haiti are more wicked than other people in the world. It teaches us that the real question is not why did it happen in Haiti, but rather, why did it not happen here? Why does it not happen everywhere? Why have we not all been swept away in God's judgment? Because we are all sinners and under God's wrath. God's word tells us that every earthquake, every natural disaster is a preview of the day of judgment, when the wicked will be finally punished and the righteous vindicated. And when everything that is wrong in the universe will be set to rights, and that there will never again be another earthquake or tsunami or flood or famine ever again. God's word gives us understanding about these things. Not complete understanding, not perfect understanding, but true, real understanding nonetheless. You want to know why suffering comes into your life? Well, a doctor can explain the biology and pathology of sickness to you, but only God's word can give you understanding. And God's word assures you that your Father in heaven is in control of absolutely everything that happens in the world, even the worst and most terrible things that you can imagine. It assures us that he has a perfect purpose for you, and that in his love and in his infinite wisdom, he is working that purpose out in your life. And nothing can frustrate it. Nothing can derail God's purpose for you. And that he takes these awful things that happen to you and he builds them into his plan. They are part of his plan. His plan isn't fulfilled in spite of these things. It's fulfilled because of these things in his infinite wisdom and power. God's word helps us to understand that we can trust God completely. Whatever happens, however awful it may be, doesn't give us all the answers. Doesn't give us complete and perfect understanding. But it does give us true understanding. God's word gives us understanding of ourselves. Helps us to understand that we are creatures of dignity and worth because we are made in the image of God. But it explains too how that image has been vandalized and defaced and twisted and distorted because of our sin. And that's why we're born now with a sinful nature. That we're born in a state of rebellion against Almighty God. God's word shows us, helps us to understand what sin is. That it's not just outward bad things, as most people in the world think that it is. But that it goes deeper than that, that it's about our heart, our attitudes, our thoughts, our dispositions, our desires, our feelings, our ambitions. Something that most people do not grasp. We could go on and on multiplying examples. But that's enough to make the point, isn't it? God's word gives us understanding. You want to understand where you came from, and why you're here, and how you need to live, and what happens after death, the psalmist says you need to go to God's word. There's nowhere else in the whole universe where you can find understanding. Through your precepts, I get understanding. And that brings us on then, secondly, to the second thing that we need to see here, that God's word alone gives understanding. God's word alone gives us understanding. And here we want to focus particularly on verses 98 to 100, because that really is the key point of these three verses. Here we have a triplet that belongs together. Most of Psalm 119 doesn't follow any particular logical sequence. I don't know if I'm contradicting everybody else who's preached on Psalm 119 by saying that, but as far as I can see at least, there doesn't seem to be any obvious link, apart from the theme of God's word, of course. There doesn't seem to be any obvious logical sequence to Psalm 119. But here there is in these three verses. Each of these verses refers to a different candidate who might have understanding. Someone you might expect to have understanding. And the psalmist says that the believer with God's word outstrips all of these three candidates. The first candidate in verse 98 is our enemies. Our enemies. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. Now, what kind of understanding might enemies have? Well, I think that perhaps the psalmist is thinking here of what we might call shrewdness or worldly wisdom. The wicked person comes and says, you want to get things done? You want to see results? You want to get ahead in the world and in your life? Well, I know how to do it. I have the answer. Cut corners. Take risks. Learn how to play the system. Get away with whatever you can, because this is a dog-eat-dog world. The enemies of God's people do often seem to be pretty clever. They know how to get away with things. They know how to get what they want. They're cunning. They might seem to have a great deal of understanding. But look at what the psalmist says. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies. In other words, God's word gives us an understanding of the world that is far, far superior to our enemies. Our enemies say to us as Christians, you Christians, you pathetic little religious people, you don't understand how the world works. The psalmist says that with God's law in our hearts and in our minds, we do understand how the world works. In fact, we understand how the world works far, far better than anyone. We understand, for example, as our enemies don't, that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and in the good. We understand from God's word that history is in God's hands, and that the circumstances and events that we see in our world and current affairs, they're not just going round and round in circles endlessly. They're being shaped and they're being directed and they're leading to an end result, a terminus, a day of reckoning, when every human being will stand before God and give an account for every deed and every thought and every word and every feeling and every desire that they have ever had. We understand as believers, where our enemies don't, that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, that God is sovereign over every single circumstance, that he promises to honour those who honour him, and that our enemies are short-sighted and blind and ignorant if they think that they can ignore God's laws without repercussions. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies. Perhaps it refers also to how our enemies, when we speak God's word rightly, they can't refute us. They have no answer for us. They may disagree and hate what we are saying with every fibre of their being, but they can't answer us. We are wiser than our enemies. Stephen did that, didn't he, with his critics. They completely disagreed with everything he was saying, but they couldn't answer him because he was on the side of reality. And his enemies were building their arguments on the clouds. It makes us wiser than our enemies. The second candidate for understanding is the teacher. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I suppose I should be careful what I say about teachers in a congregation like Trinity. You might expect teachers to have understanding because of their learning, because of their research, their study, their training. But the psalmist says here that the most brilliant teacher in the whole world who has ever lived has no real understanding of anything as long as they ignore God's word. Yes, they may well have amassed a vast quantity of facts and information about their subject. They may have a very in-depth and extensive knowledge of their subject, but they can't really see how it all fits together. They can't make sense of it. They don't have understanding ultimately. The most brilliant scientist in the world today who denies the existence of God has less understanding than the youngest child in the Sabbath school here in Trinity. That's what the psalmist is saying. It's very encouraging, isn't it, for you young people in school and university. God says here that his word gives you more understanding than your unbelieving teachers. And that should give you confidence as you speak to them and as you witness to them. Now be very careful. Don't misunderstand either what I'm saying to you or what this psalm is saying to you. You have more understanding. That does not mean that you are cleverer than they are. Understanding has nothing whatsoever to do with IQ. It's simply that God has opened your eyes and enabled you to see the truths of his word in a way that he hasn't opened their blind eyes at the moment. You have more understanding, not more knowledge. When you hear Richard Dawkins and his ilk, you can say to yourself, well, this man may well know a lot more than I do about science, but I understand far more than he does. That's true in every sphere, not just science, but literature and arts and politics, culture, media. We have more understanding than these great gurus. We have more understanding than our enemies, than our teachers. And thirdly, in verse 100, we have more understanding than the aged. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. Here's the third candidate that you might expect to have a fair bit of understanding. You'd expect older people to have understanding because of their experience. Our enemies have wisdom, might have understanding because of their shrewdness. Our teachers because of their learning and their study. And the aged because of experience. And older people can be quite patronizing to younger people, can't they? And they say to young Christians, well now, of course, when you have seen as much of life as I have seen, well, then you will realize that your childish, naive notions about God are ludicrous. In other words, the aged would say to us, experience is the way to understanding. And if you don't have experience, if you don't have many years under your belt, then you don't have understanding. And the psalmist says, no, that is not true. God's word gives us greater insight than any amount, any number of years or decades of experience ever could. You don't have to live to 100 and to have tried out all the other religions in the world to be able to say that Christianity is the truth. You don't have to have suffered dreadfully to be able to say that all things really do work together for good. We have more understanding than the aged. Over against shrewdness and learning and life experience, God's word alone gives us understanding. God's word gives us understanding. God's word alone gives us understanding. And then thirdly and lastly, we see in this stanza that God's word alone gives us understanding when it is used properly. God's word alone gives us understanding when it is used properly. How do we acquire this understanding? Through God's word, yes, okay, but how do we get this understanding out of God's word? Because it's not enough, you see, just to read the words of Scripture. It's quite possible to do that and still to be completely in the dark. And there are many people in the world today and they have a vast knowledge of the Scriptures, and yet they have no understanding of the Scriptures. The Pharisees were like that. They could recite the whole of the Old Testament Scriptures. They knew it in terms of its content inside out, but they had zero understanding of the Scriptures. Perhaps there's someone like that here today, and you've come through Sabbath school, and you've grown up through CY, and you're a communicant member of this congregation, and you know the Westminster Confession, you know the testimony, and most of all, you know the Scriptures. You have a great deal of knowledge, but perhaps you have no real understanding. You know lots about the Bible. You know lots about Jesus Christ, but you can't say that you really understand the truth. These verses teach us that there's nothing automatic about gaining understanding, because it depends on how we read God's precepts and His laws and His commandments. And there are some clues, I think, in our texts to help us here. If you look again at verses 98 to 100, you'll notice that the second half of each of those verses all begins with the word for. In other words, each of these verses give us three different reasons why we have more understanding than our enemies and our teachers and our elders. Let's take verse 99 first. He says, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." It's because he meditates on God's testimonies. There's the secret to gaining understanding from the Scriptures. Meditation on the Scriptures. Martin Luther said, if you picture every verse of the Bible as a tree laden with good fruit, you need to go to each tree and shake it and shake it and shake it until at last some of that good fruit drops down for you to enjoy. Don't stop shaking, he says, until you've got at least some fruit down from the tree. That's what meditation is. Shaking every verse and thinking about it. And it may be that many of us here this morning are really quite good at reading the Scriptures, but we're not very good at meditating on the Scriptures. We're good at getting through word count, covering the ground, ticking the box to say we've read that book and that book and that book, we've gone through the Bible in a year or 3 years or whatever. But how good are we at meditating on the Scriptures? At pausing over a verse and turning it round and round again and again in our minds, holding it up to the light as if it's a beautiful jewel and seeing all the different interplays and refractions of colour and light. How do you do that in practice? How do you meditate on God's word? Well, why not take one verse? take a verse from Psalm 119. It seems to be a psalm that is designed for meditation. Each of these verses can stand alone. Just take one and meditate on it. Think about it. Read it aloud over and over again. Each time that you read it, emphasize a different word each time. And allow your mind to hear the emphasis that that gives, the slant, the nuance that that gives to that particular verse. The implications that start to flood into your mind because of emphasizing that particular word. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, how I love your law. Oh, how I love your law. See, each time that you say the verse, putting an emphasis on a different word, it changes. It doesn't contradict the meaning of the verse. It brings new light out of the verse, doesn't it? New implications and applications start to come into our minds as we emphasize each verse. You miss that if you just rush over it quickly. Take time to stop and to chew over the verse, shaking the tree again and again and getting a different piece of fruit falling down into our laps each time. Meditation. That's how we get understanding. Verse 98. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. You'll get understanding if it is ever with you. Take it with you wherever you go. Perhaps physically get a small copy of the Bible that's small enough to fit into a pocket or keep in the glove compartment of your car. Certainly memorize Scripture so that you can call it to mind and carry on that process of meditating when you're on the bus or the train, while you're driving the car, while you're walking around the shops. In those empty moments when your mind is in neutral or where it drifts off into trivial, frivolous things, think about God's word then. Redeem the time. Meditate upon it. It is ever with me. Always running around in our minds, turning it over in our heads, muttering it to ourselves. That's what the word meditate literally means in the original. Muttering, murmuring, saying it into yourself, or even just ever so slightly out loud, teasing out the implications of a verse that you've been thinking about and memorizing. Of course, the point of all of this is not for its own sake. It's not an academic exercise. It's not a little mind game or a puzzle. Look at verse 100. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. It's meant to be put into practice. You'll have more understanding than your enemies and your teachers and your elders only if you're doing what it says. And if you're not obeying God's word, then you don't understand it. Look at verse 104, the second half of that verse. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false path. The truth leads to godliness. It's practical. Verses 101 and 102. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. Friends, unless God's word is changing you so that you hate evil and pursue what is good, then you haven't really understood it at all. God's word alone brings understanding when we use it properly, when we meditate on it constantly, and when we put it into practice. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is, as you would expect, the perfect example of all of this. Verse 98, your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies. How often do we read in the Gospels that his enemies couldn't answer him? He silenced them because he understood the Scriptures and they didn't. Verses 99 and 100, more understanding than his teachers, more understanding than the aged, We saw that in the temple when he was 12 years old. Never mind later on. Why? Why did he have that understanding? Because he was the Son of God? Well, yes, partly no doubt. But because he had meditated on it as a boy. Because he had learnt it and meditated on it and obeyed it. He had to do that in his human nature. We're told in Luke 2:52 that he increased in wisdom in his human nature. And so it was always with him. He gained understanding. And he is our example. And perhaps there's more than that here as well, because the New Testament explains for us that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. And in him all things hold together. In other words, Jesus is the answer to everything. And apart from him, nothing makes any sense. And that is what is missing in the thinking of our enemies, and so many of our elders, so many of our teachers, so many of our rulers, so many of our scientists. We began the service this morning with the invitation of wisdom. Of course, that's nothing less than the invitation to know Jesus Christ. Proverbs 8:34. Blessed is the one who listens to me, Jesus says, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favour from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Amen. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, again we come before you with praise and thankfulness in our hearts for your word. We thank you, Father, for the rich treasure that it is, more valuable than all the treasures of the earth and the universe, sweeter than all the honey in the world. Father, we pray that that would be our practical experience, that we would be able to say that not just because we know it to be true in the abstract, but because we have found it to be true in our own experience. And Lord, we pray that every one of us would be understanding men and women and boys and girls. We pray that through your precepts we would get understanding as we seek to meditate on them day and night and put them into practice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.